Welcome to Mac Convert, the show about Bobby J, a little guy that bought a Macintosh computer and might just never be going back to the Windows OS again. Without any further ado, here's Bobby J.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Mac Convert. My name is Bobby J, and this is episode 11. Thanks for sticking with me and for downloading my podcast. I greatly appreciate it. Well, big announcement this past week. As a Mac Convert, I'm kind of interested in other things besides the computer experience that we're getting from Apple. So I thought I'd talk to you about Apple's Showtime event. So this happened back on September 12th, the day after the memorial, September 11th, and it was held in Hollywood. Basically, Steve Jobs called this press conference, and he had some big announcements, and, you know, following closely, just a little over a month after the Worldwide Developer Conference, it was pretty nice to see that Apple is alive and kicking and still doing some interesting things. The first thing he kind of talked about was the improvements to the iPod machine. The iPod is kind of their, you know, their little baby, you know, and they fixed it up a little bit, okay? They did nothing with the form factor. I know some of you, including myself, were hoping maybe a PDA or a touchscreen version with a nicer screen, you know, more of a video-based iPod. Nothing there yet. I think that if there's something in the pipe, we've probably got some technical challenges that are keeping us from getting there. But what they did do was they increased the battery life for the video for something like 3 hours to 6.5 hours or thereabouts. Okay, so drastic improvements in battery life, also a 60% brighter screen. They made the interface a little bit nicer so you can quickly search by letter to the alphabet. And also, when you're quickly scrolling using the scroll wheel, you can actually see the letters of the alphabet pass by. So you can scroll much quicker than you previously could, because you know you have a reference point to where you're at in your library, even if you can't read the tunes as fast as you can scroll. So Apple does the little things to make the experience just a little bit easier, a little bit better. And I think those are some drastic improvements. Also, they released a new firmware for the iPod. So if you have a Generation 5 iPod or greater, we're kind of on our maybe Generation 5.5 with this new brighter screen and stuff, but not a totally new reworking, but some good improvements. If you have a Generation 5 iPod, you can now play games on your iPod, and nice games, you know, still things that don't require a lot of graphics processing or processing overall, but some nice games. They introduced games in the iTunes Music Store, and some of the new titles are things like Tetris, Zuma, which is a game that my wife just loves, and Mahjong. Now, I heard Steve Jobs, when he's doing his little, what's it called, you know, his speech, his conference that he called, and he calls this thing Mahjong. Now, probably, if you're like me, those of you out there always pronounced it Mahjong, because we're English, okay? But I guess Mahjong, okay, it sounds kind of goofy, a little fruity, but I don't know. Mahjong is now available. That's the tile game, you know, where you match the tiles and they can only move out to the left or right. I love Mahjong. I use a freeware version called Farmer's Mahjong. I always call it Mahjong, though, so because it's a little bit easier for me to say. Mahjong, I don't know. It just sounds weird. But anyway, the games are introduced for $4.99 a piece, which if you get games on your cell phone or portable devices, especially pocket PCs, that is cheap, okay? And you can play them forever. So it's a nice price point for the games. I applaud the games that are there. Apple's worked greatly with EA Games to create some decent games. And now that there's a presence for it, I'm sure that more developers will get involved with the gaming on the iPod. They also introduced, to facilitate these new games and to facilitate some other things that are going to go on that we'll talk about, a new version of iTunes version 7. And I have to say, I downloaded it although it does feel like it's a new program. They did a lot of changing, and I'll talk to you about it a little bit. But for the first time in my Mac experience, I think I've kind of, you know, it feels a little buggy. It feels a little not ready for prime time to me. It's kind of hard to explain. I've had a couple glitchy little things, one including where... one thing that I really love is that your videos through iTunes now are a lot nicer. You can do full screen video with at the touch of a button, and when you hover over your video window, it actually gives you the controls. I love that. It's kind of nice, and it's more synchronous with the QuickTime type environment. But basically, what I found was when I took a... I download Homestar Runner as one of my video podcasts because it's just funny. Homestarrunner.com. And you get the strong bad emails and things like that through iPod video. So I don't have an iPod, but I use it on my MacBook. But I was watching Fahugwa Gods, which is one of my favorites. And I was watching it full screen. And I kind of grabbed the playhead and I pulled it backwards. And what happened was the sound glitched out. And it basically went back to the beginning of the video, but it didn't play the sound. And when I went out of full screen mode, the playhead on the iTunes program was still at the place prior to where I pulled it. So I couldn't duplicate it. So if you've experienced anything like that or any other buggy behavior, let Apple know, and I'm sure they'll fix it in upcoming releases. But they did a lot of things to iTunes that I really liked. One of the things is... they gave us some new views for viewing our libraries. There's an album view where it takes all of the albums, groups them together, all of the songs from your albums, and groups them together, and has kind of like you can view the album cover art, and then just to the right of that you see all the tracks in order of the tracks, so you're kind of seeing a full album view front and back. That's kind of nice. They also did what's called cover flow view. Now, for those of us Mac geeks that just play around with all sorts of applications like myself, I was already familiar with a program called CoverView, and it looks like Apple acquired this company that created this program. CoverView, if you're unaware, is an application that allows you to kind of rifle through all of your albums by the album art, and it's kind of like you have a shelf in front of you with all your albums, but they kind of just float in real time, and you can flip through them and leaf through them as though you have your albums. It's a wonderful way to interface and to reacquaint yourself with your library, so I love it. I absolutely love CoverView. The only thing I was frustrated with, maybe I just haven't found it yet, but the actual CoverView program, you can run it in full screen, and I couldn't find that yet with the iTunes 7. However, they did take the same CoverView interface and they put it into the iTunes Music Store for television shows, and also they introduced movies. You can now purchase movies. Currently now it's limited to Disney, and if you remember when they came out with TV shows just a year ago, that was also limited to just a Disney studio, ABC, type things, and Lost and things like that. And they started out with 5 shows back when it's TV shows. A little bit bigger jump this time with the iTunes movies. They've got Disney, Touchstone, Pixar, you know, all the standard Disney studios, I believe, or 4 of them maybe. And they've got about 75 titles, including things like Pirates of the Caribbean, Shaggy Dog, and you can also pre-order things like Cars and Pirates of the Caribbean 2. Now, the pre-ordered movies and the day of the DVD release are going to be $12.99, which is a decent price point, I think. $14.99 outside of that if they're new releases. And then once they become cataloged or archived videos, you know, older videos, they go to a $9.99 price point. So, decent, you know, if you're the type that before a long trip or something's going to pick up a movie, I can see you picking up a movie off the iTunes Music Store. Also with iTunes 7, they allow you to transfer and sync up through your iPod data from one iTunes library to another that are both activated with the same iTunes account. So now you can use the iPod to sync your music and movies between two activated computers as well. So that's very cool. A lot of cool enhancements to iTunes. You can download album art for free. Even if you don't buy albums through the iTunes Music Store, if you rip your own albums, you can download the album art that Apple has for free. So that's cool. Another thing, they have a download manager, which for me and, you know, getting a whole bunch of podcasts, this is great because you can see where your podcasts are at. You can change their order and assign them priority. You can pause them so that things that you want to give more priority to, you know, it's just a nice way to kind of just give precedence to the things that mean more to you. If you pay $9.99 or $14.99 for a movie, you want to give them more precedence. Bump it up to the top of the list, pause everything else. It's just really great. Also, there's device integration now within iTunes. They changed the look of it as well. The look of iTunes now is, you know, it's not quite the Aqua interface. So we may see Apple moving away from that for Leopard. I don't know. It's more of a, it's not the brushed metal anymore and the balloony buttons. It's streamlined. It's a minimalistic, but it's really sharp. And hopefully Apple's going there. They may possibly be going there for in the future. Now, also, they introduced a new iPod Shuffle. It's a 1 gigabyte version, $79. This thing's very cool looking. It's about the size of a matchbook. It's got a built-in clip to it. It's got like 24 hours of battery life. It doesn't plug directly into a USB port anymore like the prior Shuffles. It will plug into a dock, so that's kind of cool. They introduced new Nanos. I don't like the Nanos, to be absolutely honest with you. The new Nanos, basically, I don't know. I just don't like them because they took away the front and back, the kind of steel and plastic look and make it all an aluminum all around. It's rounded. Kind of looks like a very skinny iPod Mini, which I wasn't really fond of. Those are the Nanos. They come in a 1 gigabyte, 2 gigabyte, and 4 gigabyte model. They start at $149, go all the way up to $249 for the 8 gigabyte model, which is only available in black. And by the way, $249, I didn't say this before, $249 is the same exact price point of the 30 gigabyte regular iPod with video. $349 for a new upgraded capacity 80 gigabyte model. One thing Apple did with releasing these movies, they decided to update all of their television shows and all of their movies to a 640 by 480 resolution, which is a lot closer to DVD quality. So this is huge. It's a lot more space. Your iPod's going to need that additional space for this because the individual things take a little bit longer to download. So, also, man, I mean, they've got movies. They released a new version of iTunes, new iPods, okay? I'm actually looking into possibly thinking about getting an iPod. And I say that because, you know, money's a little tight. I just bought a HD TV, so. And not a flat panel or anything, you know. Just a little 30-inch tube HD TV, so. So there's really a lot of cool announcements. They introduced an iTV device, which I thought the price point on that was way high. $299. It's a wireless device where basically you can broadcast your iTunes library, including videos, TV shows, or whatever, from one Mac to this device anywhere in your house. It's got the component and the RCA video outputs. It's got for me, $299 is a little bit much. It's kind of got a front row interface, although it's a little bit more updated. We'll see. The iTV is the code name for it. We'll see in the first quarter of next year what this eventually gets called and whether or not this is going to be something that's more interesting. Hopefully, they'll rethink the price point. I really think to make it attractive to somebody like me who can do all of this with my MacBook right now, you know, I'm not going to add it to my to my hardware. One thing I figured, you know, in addition to this Showtime event announcement that I would kind of relay to you is just what I did, you know, and this, some of you may be interested in doing this. I've got the MacBook, if you remember, it's got front row in it. But I was always wondering why when I hook up, I bought that little $19 dongle that goes into the RCA or the S-Video connection of my TV. But I always wondered, why when I do that, why does front row still only come up on my laptop display and not the TV display? Well, I figured out a way around it. If you go into the display properties, okay, through the system preferences, If you go into the display properties, what you can do is it allows you to switch the order of the displays when you go to arrangement tab, or what you can actually do is grab the little the top bar from one display, move that top bar to the second display of the TV. What that does is it makes that your active application display, the TV, okay? Once I did that, you restart Front Row. Now you've got Front Row on your TV. And it's also a thing that if you unplug it, basically the computer says, okay, I don't detect that that my secondary display is there anymore. I need to switch back to the primary display. So you don't have to switch it back. You do have to switch it to manually, the TV being your primary application display. Once you unplug it, it'll switch back for you because it detects that there are no other application window displays available for you. So it does flip that back over. So that's what I did. And I tell you what, you know, having the with the little Front Row remote and the going online and watching the full screen on the TV, the previews and things, it really increased my enjoyment of the MacBook. So hopefully that was an enjoyable episode for you. Please, if you have any comments on the format of the episode or me personally, you think that I'm a goober or whatever, please send me an email to Will, W-I-L-L, at MacConvert.com. Dot us. Will Mac convert us? Still remains to be seen. Do 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 do. Anyway, hopefully I'll see you guys soon with another edition of Mac Converts. God bless you. And I don't know, I was gonna say Merry Christmas or something, but no holidays are coming up. So I don't know, happy couple of weeks after Labor Day. Hopefully you're still taking it easy, and have fun with your apples, and okay, or whatever. I need something good. I need a good closing tagline. Maybe it is, Viva La Steve Jobs. No, I don't know. It's kind of a goober. I mean, did you guys see his... If you watch on the Apple site the actual speech that he gave for his Showtime, I mean, he had the goofiest looking shirt. I mean, geez, come on.
Don't forget to subscribe to Mac Convert with iTunes or go to macconvert.us.